Hey guys, how are you?
Here we are, Friday night in Perth, Armidale, and we're all going to the pub.
Basically, get this. 22 years ago, I was a drug addict. And I met Jesus. I didn't mean it, meet a name in a book. I met Jesus and he changed my life. So that's our message tomorrow, that God is real and he loves you guys so much. He loves you too, bro.
Amen. Oh, no, I know that.
In your loving hands.
Dear Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. Come back into my life, Jesus. Heal my heart.
Set me free.
Right now.
I give you my life.
I trust you.
I love you.
Let me.
Tell people.
About you.
Everywhere I go.
In your precious name.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus left 99 to go and find the one. Tonight he did that to you.
Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you.
Here we are, Friday night.
You see, that there is not a little video clip of evangelism. That there is a little video clip of normal Christianity. Because freely we receive, there's no full stop there. It's freely we receive, freely we give. Wonder what that looks like. It looks like that. That wasn't because an evangelist went into a bar and they had a karaoke set up. Karaoke's phenomenal. It's ready there waiting for us to get up and preach the gospel. It's awesome. That's just a normal Christian just going into a bar with his friends to talk about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus saves. We had beautiful young people this morning around here getting saved. First time decisions for Jesus. Tears. Staunch people in the world kneeling down and saying, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Amazing. This is a salvation center. This is awesome. This is normal Christianity. So I've got my friend, very good friend, Carmen, who's painting. So Carmen is a legend. She designs all my denim jackets and the global gospel merch, and she designed my book. Do you know, she was the first person to ever partner with us in ministry. It's awesome. We're in this thing together, and it's so cool to see her painting today. Can I just show them this? This is what Carmen painted the first service. How cool is that? That's the Holy Ghost. That's beautiful. Should put it there, eh? Will you put it somewhere, please? Goodbye. And her husband, Michael. So Carmen would partner with us, and I'd go to their house and would work on projects and different things. And her husband, Michael, was really struggling. You may have been here last week. He interrupted the service. I couldn't believe you did that, man. How rude. there were so many people that came up to him. Hey, I think it was a real God thing you did that. We pre-planned it. It was my idea. And even when I watched the video back, I thought, oh, because Mark, you got up to shut him down. You were going to throw him back in the seat. Perhaps I should have told you. Anyway, what's so beautiful is 3 months ago, Michael was in that little room around the corner. He had such an encounter with God. Pastor Wes prayed for him, broke off addiction after 25 years of sticking heroin in his arms. You know, that's an addiction. 35 years of drug addiction got broken in that little room at the Salvation Center in here. And now he's free. And now he's helping me with all the merch. He's traveling with me. How many trips have we done since then? 5 or 6 trips. We're off to Taranaki together, New Plymouth this coming weekend. And he's going to tell his story. Actually, I hadn't really thought about that because you've only been in this for 12 weeks. Maybe you shouldn't be telling your story. Maybe because I haven't actually seen his baptismal certificate. I'm not sure. Have you done the Romans Road? I'm not sure. But what I do know, a drug addict walked into this church, had an encounter with Jesus, and now he's telling people everywhere he goes. That's what I do know. That's called the gospel. Freely we receive, freely give. So I had a coffee a couple of months ago with Wes and Janet, and we were just talking, and I said, wouldn't it be cool to do like a 2-week series on Jesus Saves? And here we are. So tonight is the last, we did evangelism equipping last Sunday night. It was awesome. I loved it. It's kind of my sweet spot. It's the thing in ministry I love doing the most. Whether there's 10 in a room or 10,000, I don't care. I just love equipping people to burn for Jesus publicly. So tonight, 7 o'clock, come along. It's going to be powerful. Where was I before that? Tonight. Yeah, finished on Michael tonight. Yes, it's going to be good tonight. Anyway, so we had the coffee and Jesus Saves. So this is what we're doing today. Why? Because Jesus Saves. So what I wanted to do is get some testimonies from people in our house, people in our family that have been saved, that have had an encounter with God. And I think that, you don't need me riveting on for another 20 minutes. I think that there builds so much faith in the room that you would start to think, wow, do you know what? No one's that lost that they can't be found. No one's that broken that they can't be fixed. No one is actually that hurt, physically or emotionally, that they can't be healed. So let's do it. Let's get our first testimony up here. Let's go, big fella. Let's get it on. Have a seat, bro. Nice. Cool. That was smooth. So here's the deal. We all have a testimony. I talked about that. Yeah, sorry, Wes. I talked about that last Sunday night. The power of your testimony. If your testimony is, I got brought up in a Christian home, that is the most amazing testimony. You don't need a testimony like mine to have an impact on people's lives. Oh my goodness. Your testimony is your testimony. How beautiful to say to someone, you know what, I met Jesus when I was 3. And I've grown up with Jesus. Your testimony when you're sharing with someone is, I was. We talk about the past, but we don't glorify it. He did. What did he do? That's kind of the key bit. I was, he did, I am. And what's happening now in your life. So we're going to unpack yours, bro. So tell me about your childhood and how was it growing up for you?
Yeah, so I was blessed to be born into a Christian family with amazing parents who loved the Lord. So I've been going to church every Sunday since I was born. Obviously not every Sunday, you know, but I grew up in a Christian home, going to church every Sunday. So I knew of God, but I didn't know God. Wow. So I would go every Sunday. I'd be like, why is everyone praising? Why is everyone's hands up? Why are we singing to someone I don't even, we can't even see, you know? So it wasn't until I was 13 at a youth camp where I had an encounter with God in such a powerful way where I just couldn't stand. The glory of God was just so heavy at that camp that I was just on the ground for ages. And I just felt the love of God, the peace that he, you know, that was just on me. It was just overwhelming. And it was then that I realized, I was like, okay, I see why we come to church every Sunday, why we, you know, worship him, because just his love that he has for us was just, it's just so
awesome,
yeah.
So do you reckon that at that camp, you went into the camp one person and you walked out different? How did that look when you left the camp?
So I was just confused. I went into this camp. I was like, oh, just going to hang out with my mates, you know, have fun, eat food. But I went in as a confused, lost, you know, teenager. And it's that age where I could have easily got lost into the world. Because at the time I was confused, I would take anything. I'd be like, I'd roll with it, you know. But when I had the encounter with God, I was like, wow, like, this is amazing. Why, you know. And so I found, I was like, how can I say thanks to God? And so I knew I had musical talent. And so I was like, you know, God, I'm gonna go hard with this and I'm going to praise you with my worship. And so I invested a lot of time in music just so I can give back to God and give back and pass on everything I have to the next generation so that they can,
awesome,
you know. Awesome. So I went in as a confused, lost teenager, came out as a son of God.
Yeah, come on. That's awesome.
But it didn't come with it came with, you know, I had a lot of struggle through my teenage years, just seeing all my friends, you know, doing their things. And I actually went out with them one time and I just seen all these young people just lost. They were just staggering. I don't know, you know, what they find fun in that. And it was then that I built, that I just had, I was like, man, you know, I don't want to see this anymore. So then I decided to join the youth leadership because I was like, if we get them when they're youth, their whole life is just
awesome, man. Awesome.
So now I lead, I'm one of the youth leaders here at Fusion Youth. And you know what? On Friday, I shared the gospel like Jesus told us to. And you know what? 3 people gave their lives to God on Friday.
Come on,
come on. Like, that's...
that's the gospel, man. So what does life look like now for you?
Now I just have a huge passion in worship, in youth, and I'm just going hard at that, building a strong relationship with God because, you know, it's my foundation.
Yeah.
So I come to church every Sunday, youth, and I get to witness all these amazing things that's happening.
Yeah.
So this is awesome.
Awesome. What I think was really powerful, what you said just a moment ago, is you wanna capture the youth before they go into full blown chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how I see it. I actually say when I'm preaching, sometimes I would rather speak to 10 youth on a Friday night than 1,000 people on a Sunday in a normal church. And that's not just a lovely. That's my heart, because I wish someone came and talked to me. I wish someone eyeballed me and said, you know what, bro? God loves you so much, you don't have to wear that mask anymore. You can be yourself. It would have been so freeing. So, man, to hear you say that and what you're doing here and the youth in our church is phenomenal, man. Just keep going. Keep charging. It's beautiful. Love you, man. Awesome. Bless you, bro. Awesome. So who's next?
Dad.
You can if you want. What would you feel more comfortable, me or Kath?
Neither.
Good. It's me.
Thank you.
Okay. So, what's your name? Let's just turn your chair around and it's just you and me having a conversation. Okay, don't worry about them. They're lovely, but this is just us. What's your name?
Charlene.
Put your microphone.
Charlene.
Charlene. So what was life like for you growing up?
Chaotic. I was in foster care pretty much from the age of 5.
Okay, just pull that up a little bit to you. Just under your chin, a fist from your chin. Yeah.
A lot of abuse. Yeah, just really chaotic. Chaotic. And
then in your teenage years?
Worse.
Yeah.
I was in foster care right up until I think I was released at 17. So had a baby in my tweens, literally, who passed away through rape. Yeah, met Sue Gill, who's sitting over there. She's about the only real love we felt, really.
Awesome. Praise God, Sue. So can you remember what was kind of rock bottom for you? How low did you get?
Hanging in my jail cell, literally. And all I remember is I'd never ever had an encounter with anything. They reckon I'd been hanging between 13 and 18 minutes before they were able to open the door. And yeah, literally, just a light and a hand pushing me, literally telling me I'm not going anywhere.
Wow.
And that was that. Got asked if I wanted to see the chaplain after I got back from hospital. And I met Heather.
Heather Gallery?
Yeah, Heather.
Awesome.
And went from there.
Yeah. So tell me about Jesus. So when did Jesus come in?
Literally the day I was hanging in my cell.
Wow.
Yeah. Still tried to deny it for a wee bit when I got out.
Every hair on my thing sticking up. Wow.
Literally just... Yeah, my life changed. I ended up getting divorced and meeting Grant. Well, I'd already met Grant before, but I got divorced from my ex-husband, and yeah, it's been a journey, big journey of ups and downs. I mean, it's still not perfect. Still struggle a lot with health issues and stuff like that, but I'm alive, so, and I shouldn't be.
Yeah, amen. So how's life now, even though there is still stuff? You know, we all deal with stuff. Oh, my goodness. I could write a book just on stuff.
Yeah.
Probably you too.
I did.
So, you know, now that you're born again, now that Jesus lives in you, tell me what life looks like now.
Not chaotic.
Wow.
I still, like I said, I still struggle a lot. There's still a lot going on. This journey has taken my family, you know, through a lot of ups and downs, but I can cope with it more. I can deal with it more. I can talk to people about things now. My walls aren't up as much as what they were.
Wow.
And I just feel free awesome. From everything.
Awesome. Jesus saves.
Yeah, he does.
Awesome. I'd get used to holding a microphone because I kind of sense that God's going to get you telling your story more often, and it's gonna unlock jail cells for other people. I just see, you know, he really does turn our mess, and sometimes our messes are pretty big messes, into a powerful message where he gets glorified through it and people's lives get set free because of what you've journeyed. And I just want to honour you. Thank you so much for being so brave and being so real. Powerful. God bless.
Hug, I'm a hugger. God bless you. It was so good. It was so good.
Awesome. We've got time for one more. Luke Bowler. Luke did? Where did he go? Yeah, he might be outside talking. Isn't that powerful? What's so beautiful, he comes to us where we're at. We don't have to clean things up and get things sorted and then Jesus can come. He comes into the mess and cleans everything up beautifully. Is he coming? Oh, cool. Hey, bro. Awesome, man. Oh, bro. So, what was life like for you? Just maybe there could be people online watching that don't know you. So, what's your name?
My name's Luke Bowler, and I was born in Invercargill. My parents split up when I was about 4 years old. I grew up at my mother's place, so I'd sort of go between her house and then go see Dad on the holidays. Dad's family, they're all big drinkers and partiers, whereas Mum was sort of quiet and sheltered, so we had sort of the best of both worlds, I guess you could say. Going through into school and things like that, I was good at sports. I was always sort of all in at what I was doing. If I was playing soccer, I'd be playing soccer. I remember I started to sort of go off track around 10, 11, 12, where I started hanging out with a lot of the older kids in the neighbourhood. Started stealing and fighting and I guess enjoying being that naughty kid. So a lot of the time through school I found myself in the hallway or in the principal's office or I guess trying to make people laugh. I'd sort of given up on that sort of aspect. Started smoking weed and smoking cigarettes at high school with the other kids, and that was just who I thought I was meant to be. I moved to my father's at 16, which is where I dropped into addiction. I found alcohol, parties, girls. I thought I loved it, eh? And it keep getting darker and darker. I remember I used to go job to job to job, place to place, city to city, on the run from the cops. Just a complete downward spiral of madness. I never used to feel good enough. I used to always feel like I was never going to be anything or go anywhere. I tried to find my identity in parties, the gangsters on the streets, and just trying to be a homie, I guess.
Wow. So something significant happened in your jail cell.
Yeah.
What happened, man?
I ended up in prison four times along that journey. Sad to say, but it became normal for me. I kind of just believed I was meant to be there too, I guess. But my last night in prison, I was yelling out my peephole, telling this dude that I was going to kick his head in and all this other stuff. And then I had a demon show up next to me that physically threw me into the wall. As I hit the wall, I remember I got hit with fear, like just this fear, and started to cry. I hadn't cried since I was a little kid. My heart was so hard at that stage. I jumped in my bunk and was just completely terrified, and then the presence of God hit me for the first time. His presence just smashed me, and all he said to me was, "You're an alcoholic, you're going to be free, and you're going to change people's lives." I looked at the wall and there was a massive glowing golden cross, and I felt like I was being sucked into it.
Wow. That intense?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, eh? I remember, the next day I when I did get out of jail the next day, I wrote to some of my good mates and told them what had happened, and they were like, you've finally lost the plot, like, you've completely lost it. And I was like, nah, bro, this has happened. And I it was pretty cool.
Wow.
From that moment, I knew God was real. No one could ever take that away from me. But I didn't know how to read the word. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to be a son and be in relationship with him. I just knew 100% he's there, he's real. And I started to try to change my life. So I always say it's like a Roman 7 lifestyle where I dropped into the flesh and I actually decided I'm not going to be a criminal anymore. I want to push everyone away from me that's affecting me that way, and I just want to walk forward and try and be normal. You know, what is normal? But I tried being normal, and over those years, I fell back into drugs, alcohol, was still struggling, getting nowhere, but I was learning. And then I had another encounter that took me to Alcoholics Anonymous, which is where I said to God that day, I remember saying, God, I don't even want my life anymore. I'm going to give it to you, and you do whatever you need to. Ever since that day, I've been free of alcohol, so no drinking. The cravings all left, everything left. That was 28th April 2014. So from there, I ended up getting, we got blessed with a business, started a business. We hired Christians. They'd tell me about Jesus, and I'd tell them about God and sort of laugh at them, and that was that. But I ended up having another encounter, which was 11th of July 2015. I ended up getting baptized, and that's when everything changed. My old self fell off. Like, I surrendered to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, I know who you are now, and I'm yours, and you are mine. And I've walked with him ever since that day. I've got peace, I've got freedom, the anger, the hatred, the lustful stuff, all of that stuff just fell off my life. I remember I met Daz probably 6 months in. I was just going radical and sharing wherever I'd be, and not planted in a church. I was still swearing and cursing and carrying on. And I went and met Daz, and I remember he showed up out the front of my cafe, and we got yarning. And I knew he understood me. Like, as I was talking, he got me. And we got to like the end, and he's one word that he gave me, I want to share this, is he goes, every time you swear when you're sharing your testimony, it's like you're spitting in Jesus' face. And that really hit me. I was like, far out, I didn't think of it like that. So that started falling off. But Daz pointed at this tree, and he said, see that tree? He said, it's planted, and God's telling me that you need to be planted. And I remember, I said, what church do you go to, bro? And he told me, and I rang Leader, and I said, babe, we're getting planted at Living Waters. That's where we're meant to be. And this place has been home for me ever since. Since being planted, I've just grown so much. And just being in this family and having all of you guys, like, sharing into my life and the brothers' lives, and all the ones that are coming through, like, you know, I don't think some of you realise how much it means to all of us, to actually, you know that we are loved, and that we're in a house where the leaders, the elders, the ones that have walked before us, that they love us, and that they're going to keep supporting us on this journey. Jesus was and is the only thing I was ever looking for, you know, like, nothing else can fill the void. Nothing else in this world is even worth trying to chase after, because it all ends at nothing, you know what I mean? But Jesus, when he comes in, he is everything. And my biggest, I guess, struggle as a Christian is not being able to spend as much time as I want to, but then recently I've realised that every single thing that I do unto him, you know, and I've got to continue to push in and be loved and be his son and just let his joy, his life, his love just flow out of me and show others who he is. I guess,
You're a dad.
Yeah, I'm a dad.
You're a husband.
Yeah, I'm a husband. I'm married. Yeah, we've got a business. And, yeah, I just get to help people and walk with them and love them, just like all you guys do for all of us. And I get to, yeah, drink his presence.
I remember, that was beautiful, man. I remember last year I took you on a trip with me to Melbourne, and, you know, we preached the whole weekend at Dan Hagen's church, Fire Church.
Yeah.
And what I came away after that trip with was, you really, really love Jesus.
Yeah.
And because you really, really love Jesus, the byproduct, what I see of that, is you actually love people.
Mm.
And you've got such a beautiful gift on you to love the ones that others struggle to love. Mm. And I just really want to honor that in you, man. And you're a real pillar in our church.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love you, bro.
Love you too, man. Don't go away. Stay up here. Grab the mic. So I just think it'd be awesome, Luke, if people watching online, look at that camera, eyeball that camera there.
Yeah.
And anyone else in here, if you want people to close their eyes or whatever, you just do it. I want you to give people an opportunity today to give their life to Jesus.
Sweet. So, Father, right now I just pray for each and every person that's watching and each and every person in this room. Holy Spirit, that you just move upon them right now. Father, let your presence be felt. Continue to call them in, draw them in. I just want to give you all an opportunity today to receive Jesus. He's not just a name in a book. He is real and he loves you so much. He knows your heart, he knows your life, he knows each and every step that you take. Holy Ghost, move through this place right now and come upon each and every person that needs to know you. I speak to all you online. If you're feeling this, just open your heart and receive the presence of the Father. Receive Jesus into your life. And Lord God, continue to draw them in and touch them. Reveal yourself to them and show them your ways, Father. That nothing else matters in this world but to know you, Jesus. So encounter them, open their hearts, open their eyes.
Prodigals, people that are away from God. Today's the day to come home.
Yeah, prodigals, anyone that's walked away from the Lord or feels like they're far from him or that have been struggling with addictions or anything, any sort of sin, anything that's gotten in the way, I just pray right now that you'd come up to the front.
If that's you, that's an invitation right now. We're going to close very shortly. If you've never given your life to Jesus or you're away from him, today's your day to come home. There's something so beautiful about changing your posture and moving from your seat and walking to an altar and recommitting your life to God. So we're going to give it, Luke, 30 seconds.
Yep.
And then we're going to close, okay? So if that's you today, today's your day. Bless you, bro. God bless you, bro. Come here, bro. God bless you.
My Jesus is not one who puts people down, he only lifts them up.
Yeah, come on.
I've made mistakes like we all have, but I've been away from, I used to go to City East Church where I got baptised, but somebody in my family died and it took me away from Jesus and God because I didn't see why they wouldn't let that person live. But I came here with my niece Tina. She told me all about this church, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll come and have a look. And I like what the pastor had to say, and what awesome. People's testimony in it. And it made me realise I haven't really left God and Jesus. I've been standing beside me all the way and leaving it up to me to make my choice and awesome. When the time's right.
Awesome. Today's your day. This is it, bro. Today's your day. And you. This is it. This is it. Do you know what this is? This is God answering the prayers of a praying mum. Your mum's been praying for you. So my question is, do you want to give your life to Jesus today? Let's do it. Let's do it. Come down here, guys. We're just going to kneel down. We're going to kneel down, okay? So, I know this is your first time, so it's not scary. It's really amazing. He's a really, really cool dad. And not only does he love you, he really, really likes you. Okay? You too, bro. So what we're going to do, we're just going to ask Jesus, just forgive us. Because he died on the cross to take away our sin and sickness. And we're going to ask him just to come and live in us. So he sits on the throne of our life. So he sits in that place. And it's going to be amazing. It's super simple because it's supposed to be super simple. Sometimes I think we can try and overcomplicate it, but it's very simple. Jesus died so we can live. And when he's in us, you're never alone again. Even sometimes when I get scared, I say, God, help. And he does. So good. Praise God for your prayers, praying, Mum. This is it. Could everyone stand, please? We'll stay. We'll stay kneeling down. Sorry, that was very confusing. I just want you guys to say this after me, and we're going to say it as a family. If you're online and today is your day, I want you to say this out loud. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God rose Christ from the dead, you will be saved. It's amazing. It's such a beautiful free gift. But here's the deal. It costs your life. He doesn't just want your heart, he wants your whole life. So online today, and I know there's people actually online right now, you're listening to this, this is for you as well. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me, as me. Because you love me, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin and come into my life, invade it. I love you, Jesus. I want to make you famous. Use this little life to burn publicly for you every day. Amen. And amen. So, I just want to say this last thing. There's a big book in heaven. It's an amazing big book. And it's called the Book of Life. Your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here's this. There's a party going on with all the angels. Millions and millions of angels going on today because of you. Because you see, Jesus come in, the whole heaven started erupting because of you. Okay? It's so good. It's so good. Congrats, Mum. Awesome. So 7 o'clock tonight, it's going to be way better than Netflix. It's going to be way better than 2020. It's going to be way better than 60 minutes. Tonight, I'm going to pour my heart out and we're going to pray for people tonight. It's going to be an impartation night. So come along, bring your friends. Even bring people that don't know Jesus. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? Bring them along. We'll see you at 7 o'clock. Father, I just pray a blessing over every single person in here. Lord, I pray today you would get every single one in this room to shine your goodness, your kindness, your mercy wherever they go. In your precious name. Amen. And amen.